Hi everyone, welcome back to Through the Eyes of a Therapist podcast. I'm Crystal Martinez Acosta, licensed professional counselor, board certified counselor, and certified clinical trauma professional. I am recording today due to me having free time. So, during this hour, I want to talk to you about what it's like to write notes as a therapist. Let's get started. Writing notes as a therapist can be a daunting task. However, once you get a great flow going, it can be one of the best ways for you to keep organized in your practice. Now, whether you are a professional who is working in private practice or you are part of a group practice or agency, you may be seeing clients back to back to back. A billable hour can be anywhere from 16 to 53 minutes. And depending on how you manage your time after you see your client, you may or may not be able to complete your notes. I'll share some of my tips and tricks with you in this podcast. So firstly, one of the best things to learn how to do before we get into all this note writing business is to set boundaries appropriately. What do I mean by set boundaries? Well, specifically time boundaries. Time boundaries are so important in task management, practice management, and caseload management as a counselor, therapist, social worker, case manager. As we know, writing a note can take anywhere from 3 minutes to 10 minutes to an hour, and it just depends on the type of note that you're going to be writing. So, when you have time boundaries with clients, meaning being able to end your sessions on time and start them on time, is going to be a very important part of keeping up with notes, but also writing good quality notes. When you write any progress note, for example, you're in session 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 with a client, and you just have to update a few things, some of the time that you'll be spending writing your note is thinking about and reflecting upon what the client and you talked about that day. So ending your session with about 7 to 10 minutes left on the hour, if you have another client scheduled right behind that, is going to be important so that you can diligently and quickly write a good note. Now, depending on if you are a private pay therapist, meaning cash pay, you don't take any insurance, versus a therapist who does take insurance, you may need to change your approach when it comes to writing your notes. So for example, those of you who do take insurance may need to document something called medical necessity. What is medical necessity? It is the way that an insurance company verifies that a client or patient of yours does in fact need your services medically, right? We do function from a medical model, even though we're therapists and we are not doctors. The DSM-5, TR, and all the DSMs have a description and disclaimer in the front of the book. If you have never read it, I recommend that you do. But we do function from a medical model standpoint and a deficit-based standpoint. So what does this mean? This means that we function from a place of diagnosis of a problem. When we diagnose that problem and we can articulate in words what is going on with a client, then we are able to document medical necessity very clearly. So articulating the criteria in which a patient or client meets a functional impairment that's related to the diagnosis, we have to show that there's a significant impairment in ADLs, activities of daily living, and how the treatment will help decrease that impairment. So not only are we documenting what is going wrong with the client and how this problem or these symptoms are interfering with functioning, we also need to make sure that we include information, a couple of sentences about how our interventions in therapy, theory-based, evidence-based practices, are going to help diminish those symptoms and help them get back to functionality. So being able to think about all of that while we are writing a good quality intentional note is time consuming. Some therapists do something called concurrent documentation. I was trained in a very traditional way at my graduate counseling program, so we were not necessarily allowed to do concurrent documentation, meaning where the client is speaking, you're speaking, and you are also documenting your note at the same time. I find it hard to focus on what the client is saying to me in the moment if I'm trying to complete documentation at the same time. Some therapists may be really good at seamlessly doing this, but I really do feel in my anecdotal experience and in my training that concurrent documentation can be detrimental to the dynamics in counseling, meaning you're not really paying attention to what the client is saying. You might miss a few sentences or a few words, and then you have what we call lower attunement with the client. So you're not really grasping the whole idea of what a client is saying. And when you have to reflect back or paraphrase, you might get it wrong or have an inaccurate statement. And this can definitely affect the way the client is perceiving you and your listening skills. So I don't recommend concurrent documentation to my students at the university level and to my trainees. Now, I completely understand that therapists, social workers, case managers are overworked and underpaid in a lot of circumstances. So it may not be possible for you to take a break in between clients to do concurrent or to do documentation that is not concurrent. I really try to stress other time management and relational management skills to get you to have some time right before your next session to do a good document, to do a good note. The other thing to consider is what type of note you're writing, right? So earlier I mentioned progress notes and how that can take anywhere from 3 to 10 minutes to write. If you are a new therapist, this may take a little bit longer, but after you practice hundreds and thousands of these notes, you're going to get better and faster and more efficient at documenting medical necessity, progress, and everything in your note after every session. However, if you are taking a client as a new patient and you have to complete something called a psychosocial evaluation or a biopsychosocial, you may have to have a separate hour or some separate time to complete this document. Completing a biopsychosocial note or evaluation can be a couple of pages long. And depending on the format in which you are inputting the information, it could be by hand. I know that some agencies still do this. And if you are using an EHR system, an electronic health record system, you might be able to use drop-down menus and things of that nature to make your documentation experience a little bit more seamless and more efficient. I'm not going to go over how to write a biopsychosocial evaluation, but in our EHR systems, there may be times where you can use drop-down menus, little bubbles to click on so that it can make things easier. However, this can still take anywhere from 10 minutes, 20 minutes to half an hour. I've been doing this work for approximately 13 plus years, and I do still take a lot of time writing biopsychosocials. It includes a lot of information like family history, background of the problem, symptoms, any cultural factors, demographic information, how the problem is presenting right now versus how it was in the past. All of those things, right, do take a lot of time to articulate fully in coherent, full sentences. And for me, writing that narrative, including a genogram, can take 30 to 40 minutes, even up to another hour, depending on the severity of the problem and what is being experienced by the client. So I mentioned using drop-down menus, bubble clicks, and things of that nature to make things easier. I use a platform called Simple Practice, which is an electronic health record system. And inside of this electronic health record system, or EHR, you will find different ways to customize templates, such as a biopsychosocial evaluation. So that way you are able to complete one of those evaluations in a timely and efficient manner. You can also customize templates for your progress notes or therapy notes. So this is something that I have done personally so that I can include ways to document that include medical necessity, frequency, intensity, duration of the problem, mood, affect, presentation, orientation, risk, and all of those things that are mandatory in a note, and put them into the EHR so that I can just click, click, click and be done with certain parts of the note. I still do write a narrative when it comes to a summary of the problem, what the plan is for the future, and things of that sort, because I do feel like writing a narrative and writing part of the note is still necessary. I don't think that a good note is just click boxes or bubbles or drop-down menus. I think you still need to add your clinical interpretation into the note and give your clinical voice to the note. You can also include things like start times and end times in those progress notes so that if you ever get audited by an insurance company, the people that reimburse you, like the big commercial insurance companies or even state-funded programs, they may need that information. So having it at the end of your document as like a forced box answer can help you stay in compliance for that stuff. So there are some people who I have seen on different forums and support websites and blogs and on social media and things like that that talk about how sometimes you don't get the note done that day, right? I have always made it a habit to end my session with enough time to write the note before the next client. I thankfully have had this habit since graduate school and have never ever let it slide, because I know that if I don't do the note at that very moment, I'm going to forget what we talked about. I'm going to forget some of the important details that I need to write down related to the client's problem and how their progress is going. And if I were to let it lapse for a couple of days or a couple of weeks, and sometimes in some cases I've heard therapists letting their notes lapse for a couple of months and then they pile up. So how are you able to remember all of that detailed information weeks, days, months later after you've had the session with the client? There are also important compliance related issues related to that, because if you are getting reimbursed by an insurance company, they happen to audit you, they will also look at the time and date that you signed the note. And in the EHRs, most of them, I understand that they timestamp whenever you add your digital signature, electronic signature, with the date and the time that the note was completed. So if they see that the date of service, for example, was sometime, today is actually March 12th, and the date of service was back in January, maybe January 12th, 2 months later, the document was done. There may be questions about how you were able to remember that, and they might see that note as out of compliance, and they may claw back or try to get back and collect the reimbursement that they gave you for that date of service because it's a compliance issue. Now, if you are a private pay therapist, it's important to know that that might be a little bit different. The level of compliance that you have with notes may not even exist. So if you are a private practice therapist who is a private pay, cash pay therapist, you may feel the temptation to not write good quality notes, or you might feel the temptation to let those notes lapse a couple days, weeks, months. However, what I always recommend to other practitioners is to do something called a self-audit. A self-audit, even though it's not an outside entity coming in and looking at your notes to see if they're quote-unquote within compliance, you are checking the quality of your own notes, you are checking if everything was done on time, and you're checking for words inside of the notes that are related to medical necessity and proving that. So how do you do a self-audit? Well, you can randomly pick a couple of charts, complete charts with the biopsychosocial, the treatment plan, the progress notes for a couple of randomly selected clients, and go through their whole entire chart. You can document that you've done your own self-audit in some sort of log, maybe on a Word document or even on paper, and kind of save that to the side as a risk management proof of being able to do these things in your own practice for yourself, right? But doing a self-audit can be really helpful so that you can reflect upon the quality of your documentation and the timeliness of your own documentation. Some people who are in private pay cash practices may feel like they don't need to include any documentation because who's going to check, right? However, you never know if you're going to get subpoenaed, if you will get a malpractice suit coming your way, anything where you might have to prove that you saw a client. So I think it's very important to always keep documentation, and it is also part of the ACA Code of Ethics as a counselor. So what I've done is looked at some checklists on different websites that show what is required in clinical documentation for healthcare providers that get a request for psychotherapy notes and what they would be auditing or looking for. So some of the things that you will need to include are the name of the client, who is receiving the services. You will also have to have a valid and legible signature on that note or on that biopsychosocial or that treatment plan. You also will have to identify who you are. Yes, your name, but also your title, your credentials, sometimes your educational background. So you might have to put MA for Master of Arts or MS for Master of Science, for example. You also have to demonstrate the start and stop time of sessions most of the time. So that's why having a force box answer in your EHR is really important, because the timestamp where you write your note is important, right? But that doesn't reflect start and stop time. The appointment time also does not reflect start and stop time. The start and stop time could be different from when the appointment was scheduled. So you, for example, might have an appointment scheduled at 11 a.m. and it's supposed to end at 12 p.m. and that might automatically come out on the note on the top. However, your start time might be something like 11:03 a.m. and you ended the session at 12:05 p.m. So that's what start and stop time is referring to. You also want to include consent for telehealth. So for example, if you're doing a telehealth session, like I do mostly telehealth sessions, you'll want to include a short statement at the beginning or somewhere in your note saying that the client consented to telehealth services at this time. The client stated that they are within Texas state lines at the time of session and consented to services. So this also shows that you are doing the modality or utilizing the modality that you said you're going to use. So if you're using telehealth and that is on a claim, on your claim, it'll say telehealth, and in your note, it might not say telehealth. So there may be a discrepancy there. So the other documentation you want to include, aside from the type of service being provided, is the techniques that you used. So therapeutic techniques, any modalities like EMDR, CBT. You also, for medical necessity, again, some of the points that are listed in some of these lists are if any tests or assessments were utilized and interpreted, what those results were, the maladaptive behavior or symptoms that support the need for ongoing treatment. You also want to include any medication prescription monitoring if applicable. So sometimes if a client is taking medication, you can put things like client is taking medication as prescribed by their psychiatric provider per their report. Right? Because you're not a doctor, you're not necessarily monitoring that, but you kind of want to see where they are as far as medication adherence and compliance. You can also put in the frequency of treatment. So client is being seen once every 2 weeks, what their prognosis is. I almost mispronounced that word. Prognosis. So prognosis is if you think they're going to get better with the treatment that you are providing. And you can put things like fair or poor or excellent to give that evaluative component to the prognosis. And what their progress is with the problem. You also can put things like the summary of the diagnosis, the symptoms, what their functional status is, and where they are with the treatment plan. So sometimes you can put things like client is moving in forward progress towards the goals of the treatment plan as evidenced by dot, dot, dot. Using as evidenced by is really an important statement that I like to teach my students to use, because you can make claims about a client. So for example, like client is improving, period. But then how? Can you show me? Can you tell me? What evidence do you have in your clinical judgment that shows that they are improving? So it's important to use words like that. If you're doing any incident to guidelines, meaning an associate of yours who is under supervision, that documentation needs to be in there. So for example, if I have an associate, an LPC associate in Texas who is not fully licensed yet, but they're doing work under my license, under supervision, I can put that information in the note and say this client is being seen by whoever, supervised by Crystal Acosta, LPC supervisor, with my license number, and then make it clear that the billing is being done through the supervisor's license. And only some states allow this, and some certain insurance companies in each state allow this. So any risk or medical emergency information also needs to be included. And any waivers or any consent forms, making sure that all of that is in compliance. So these are the things that you could look through in a self-audit, or if you're asked to audit another person's charts, you can make sure that all of this documentation is included. So again, writing a note might seem like a simple and mundane task. However, it definitely can pile up if you let it. And it's important to keep those time boundaries with your clients, to end sessions on time, to practice interrupting clients at the end of session, to make sure that your session has a good flow from the beginning to the end, where you're able to send a client off in a semi-regulated state, right? I know that therapy can be difficult sometimes, but not hanging up the call or leaving the session saying, oh, it's, you know, 10 till our time's up, but they're like bawling their eyes out, right? That can also damage rapport. So session management, time management, having those boundaries, even for yourself, not letting yourself go beyond a certain time or day to get notes done. So not only is it boundaries with others, with your clients, and even with your colleagues, but it's also boundary setting with yourself, saying, hey, I've already done 5 sessions today. I have not written any notes. I need to take some time right now to finish those notes. Or if you have a no-show, or if you have some administrative time, not using that time to scroll on TikTok, right? Like we all want to, or take a nap or whatever. I understand that self-care is important. Having healthy distraction is important. Not using your brain so critically and deeply is important as well. But having that balance and discipline to say, you know what, okay, I rested for a few minutes. Now I need to get going on my notes so that I don't fall behind. If you're a therapist and you enjoyed this podcast, remember that there are trainings available given by myself and by my colleagues and partners, either in person or online. You can sign up for those and look at them at www.clarityelpaso.com. Thanks for listening to Through the Eyes of a Therapist. If you are on Instagram, please follow me at Through the Eyes of a Therapist. You can also find me on TikTok, Cristal Acosta Therapist, and visit me on Facebook, visit the website. And if you have any ideas or topics that you want to hear about on this podcast, please write to me. Feel free to contact me, especially on Instagram. I'm the most active there, I believe, as far as correspondence with listeners. So please go and follow me. Also, remember to give this podcast a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and anywhere you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening. I'm Cristal Martinez Acosta, licensed professional counselor, and this is Through the Eyes of a Therapist podcast. Talk to you again soon. On Friday, April 5th, Clarity Counseling Consultation and Wellness will be holding a training called Essentials for a Trauma-Sensitive Practice. This is a 3-hour training that starts at 12:30 p.m. Mountain Standard Time and ends at 3:30 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. It will be a virtual training, and so anybody can join from anywhere. Please consider joining this workshop where we will be offering 3 cultural and diversity CEUs for social workers and therapists in Texas. For more information and to register for this event, please visit clarityelpaso.com and go to the shop and register from there. If you're listening to this podcast, you also get $10 off of that training with the use of the promo code STUDENT24. And there are limited promo codes, so please sign up for this as soon as possible. There's limited space in the webinar workshop, and there's limited promo codes. So again, visit clarityelpaso.com, click on shop, and visit the Eventbrite website to register for this training by Clarity Counseling Consultation and Wellness.